Well, good morning. How are we doing? It is great to be here with you guys. My preaching game is slowly increasing, so now I have a clicker. So if I forget to use it, just point or something. This is the first time. But, you know, testing it out. But it's great to be here with you guys this morning. My name is Jacob Rissman, if you don't know. And my wife and I lead the campus ministry, and not this past week, but the week before, we actually had the chance. Oh, that's the wrong way. Testing it out. We had the chance to go to Branson with our students, and there's about 15 of us that went down and just had a time of fellowship, building family, and it was just awesome. You know, we really just went down. We had some lessons. We actually had two of our students lead us in morning devotionals, which was awesome. But really, we just wanted to build memories. We spent some time on the beach. We went on a hike, some mini golf, went out to eat. We had a worship night and prayer night, and it was just a great time together. And you see, deep relationships, man, they're needed in our faith, right? They're so crucial for each of our walks with God. And, you know, when we have these deep relationships, it gives us people to encourage us when we're hurting. It gives us people to lean on in times of hardship and persecution, reminding us that we're not alone, which sometimes we can feel like that, can't we? You know, it gives us people that we can seek advice from when we're going through hard things, or people that can call us out in our sin when we're not being transparent about it. But we need deep relationships with one another. You know, because there will be times where we feel discouraged, right? There will be times where we go through things, and we need one another to remind us of God's promises, of his faithfulness, of his love for us, and just everything that he's done. So the title of my lesson this morning is Encouragement That Guards the Heart. And we're going to be reading out of Hebrews chapter 3, 7 through 19. And my college students know I love this passage. I reference it all the time. But I think it's great for us to look at this morning as well. And before I dive into it, just a little bit of context of Hebrews. So the author is writing to a group of Christians who are also Jewish, and they're struggling a little bit in their faith. You know, they're asking these questions of do we go back to the ways that we used to live? You know, do we leave this Christian life and kind of live as Jews as we once did? You know, but it's this call to remember God, this encouragement to remain faithful. You know, and sometimes in our lives, we have moments like that too, don't we? Where we say, man, is it really worth it to keep persevering? Is it really worth it to keep on going? But we need one another. And that's what the author is doing. He's encouraging them to remain faithful, to guard their hearts. Let's dive in, picking up in verse 7. I think these are actually on here too, aren't they? Maybe. All right, I'm reading. 3, picking up in verse 7, it says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the times of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me. Though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief." You see, the author, he's warning about the danger of allowing our hearts to become hardened. And a hardened heart, man, that is the quickest way to walk away from God. You know, when our hearts get hard, we start to allow things to just creep in. Right? We allow sin, or we fail to believe that God is still faithful, that he's with us. But this doesn't just happen out of nowhere. You don't just wake up one day and be like, all right, I'm done, my heart's hard, and leave. It happens over time. Right? It happens when we fail to have faith in God. And it may just be a little part of it at first. But that lack of faith, it grows. And it grows over time. You know, that's why Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. You see, if we want to be a healthy church that's on fire for God, it starts with guarding our hearts. You know, so what causes our hearts to be hardened? It's a lack of faith. And my first point this morning is that faith fuels our hearts. You know, it's like it says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, but faith implies more than just belief, right? It implies relationship. It implies a trust in God, that he's with us, that he has a plan for us. And it implies hope, right? Hope for a future. Hope that, man, there is a promised land on the other side of this. And the more we know God's character and believe it to be true, the easier it will be for us to have great faith. You know, this is why I believe Jesus was able to endure the cross joyfully. It's not that he wanted to die, but he said, man, I trust that God is in control. Right? I trust that he is with me. And we see him wrestling with it, right? Not my will, but your will. It's because he had faith in his Father. He trusts him. He knew him. And we need the same. Right? Faith, it's also something that needs to be continually maintained. Right? One great moment of faith in your life does not equate to a life of faithfulness. Life gets hard. Right? And Satan will do whatever he can to pull you away from the heart of the Father. He wants you to forget. He wants to deceive you. And so I want to ask you, do you really believe that God can overcome any circumstance in your life? Do you believe that he is faithful to his promises? That he is faithful to his people? That he has a place of rest for you? You see, this is what the audience of Hebrews was wrestling with. Is it worth it? Is following God worth going through these hardships and these persecutions? Is it worth denying ourselves and carrying a cross each and every day? Because church, that's hard. There are times we don't want to deny ourselves. There are times we don't want to carry our cross. There are times we don't want to love our enemies or be a light or be encouraging. And so if we don't have faith in God, it's not going to be worth it. Because we're doing it for something else. Over time, we'll get tired of carrying our cross. It all comes down to our faith. Do you trust in God? Do you trust that he's with you? And the author, he recalls back to Israel and their lack of faith in the wilderness. You know, and I think it's easy to judge that group, but we're the same way if we're honest. Right? We have these great moments of faith, and we have moments where we're really struggling. You know, but we look at Israel, and they had seen some amazing things happen in their lives, even recently. Right? They had the Exodus story, all the plagues, you know, following the pillar of fire, crossing the Red Sea on dry land. You think that's enough, right? I mean, if we saw that, surely we would remain faithful. You know, Scripture also says that they heard God's voice. They heard it. See, their issue wasn't a lack of belief that God was real. It was a lack of faith that he was with them. That he had a plan for them. You know, I think the same is true for us sometimes today, where we know for sure God is real. We've heard his voice. We've seen the miracles. But sometimes we forget that he is with us because life just gets hard. We have those wilderness seasons where we're just hungering and thirsting. You know, but our encouragement, it doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from our God. It comes from knowing who he is, right? That he is the way to life. That he is the one who has rest for us. Church, do you allow the hardships of your life to strip you of your faith in God? Or does it cause you to lean in? Because we're going to choose one of the two when life gets hard. We can either run or we can trust in him. You know, and like Israel, they heard his voice, but they chose to run away. Right? They chose not to trust in God. Because just because you hear God's voice, just because you go to church every Sunday, or you read your Bible every once in a while, or you go to midweek or small group, it doesn't mean that you're living faithfully. It just means you're doing some things to hear God's word. But God wants our hearts to be soft towards him. It comes down to our faith. Are we living for him? Or are we just doing things that look good to him? You see, in unbelief, that's what leads to disobedience over time. That's what leads to the rebellion. And it might not be at first, but like I said, over time, that will weigh on you. Over time, the deceitfulness of sin will creep in. You know, but it comes down to, will we be faithful? You know, our faith, you know, it makes me think of like a car and gas. Your car needs gas to get anywhere, right? And you might fill it up once and you're good for a little bit. But honestly, you're not driving that far before you have to fill it up again, right? And if you don't, you're going to get stranded. You're not going to be able to move. But that's what our faith is. It's not just a one-time thing or, you know, every 6 months like the oil change is supposed to be, but it's continual. Right? In our lives, we're not just living for God on Sundays or Wednesdays. It's each and every day of our lives, which means we need to be continually refilling our faith in him. You see, but that's where Israel fell short. You know, they sinned. They rebelled. They didn't trust in God and in the promises that he had for them. You know, the spies, when they were sent into the promised land, I mean, they got to see the land that was before them, that they were about to inherit. But they come back and they say, we can't do it. They're too big. They're too strong. They lost faith that God was with them, that he would fight for them. You see, and as a result, they weren't able to enter into his rest. They wandered the wilderness for 40 years. Only Caleb and Joshua were ultimately able to see the promised land. But their issue was not a failure to be perfect. It was a failure to trust in God. You know, so where is your trust in God this morning? Are you faithful to him? Or have you allowed your heart to slowly be hardened, allowing sin to creep into your life? You see, unbelief, it's not an inability to understand. It's an unwillingness to trust. Church, in what ways does your sin reveal a lack of faith in your God? You know, something that I can struggle with is I like to be in control. You know, sometimes we don't always view that as sin, but it is. It's pride. But it stems for me is, do I trust that God is going to do what he says he's going to do? Because if I'm in control, at least, you know, I can dictate the outcome. But it's a lack of faith in a way. And we all have these areas, right, where we just struggle. Is God really going to fulfill this promise? Is he really going to be faithful in this way? And that's where we turn to sin. You know, what ways have you heard God's voice but chosen to ignore it? You see, the passage says, today, if you hear God's voice. It's a call to be urgent, to immediate change. You know, Andrew was talking about repentance during his communion. Man, that's what we need to repent of. Repentance isn't always just about our sin. Sometimes it's about our faith. Right? Turning back to God and remembering who He is. And it's not something that's meant to be put off. You know, 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11, it says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to life and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent of this matter." This isn't something that's put off. It's done today. There's an urgency behind these words. There's an eagerness. There's an alarm. That's what it looks like to be faithful. That even when we recognize the faults, when we recognize our sin, we're saying, no, I'm turning back to God today. I'm not going to wait for the perfect time. You see, but Israel, they refused to trust in God. And their lack of faith resulted in them being unable to enter His rest. And the reason for that is, rest can only be found in God. True rest is only found in Him. The promised land can only be reached through and with Him. And the same stands true for us today. Right? We will not be able to enter into God's rest if we don't have faith in Him. If we don't trust in His promises. Philippians 4, you know, 6 through 7, we know this verse. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." What is it saying? Bring everything to Him. The things that make you anxious, your worries, your fears, your success, bring it to God. Come to Him. Have faith in Him. And then what? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Guys, if we want to have the peace that transcends all understanding, it starts with coming before the Father. Right? It starts with having faith in Him in all situations. Similarly, in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Again, guys, there will be times where we feel weary, where we feel burdened. But Jesus is saying, bring that to me. I got you. And I will give you rest. And not just physical rest, which we like that, right? Like we all enjoy that lazy, you know, that lazy Saturday where you can just sit on your couch and watch TV. But that's not actually restful. The rest that God has for us is so much greater. It's a rest for your souls. But do you trust Him? Do you have faith in Him? And guys, it's easy to forget these things. It's easy to lose sight of His faithfulness. We're people. Like Israel, we're prone to wander. We're prone to forget. But that's why it's so important for us to have one another, to remind each other of His faithfulness. And my second point this morning is that community, is that community encourages our faith. You see, we need to be a community that is constantly reminding one another of what is true, of who God is, of His promises, of all that He's doing in our lives. This is what the author of Hebrews is challenging this group with. He says, "See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart." It's a challenge. Hey, hold each other accountable. Be in each other's lives. Know what's going on. He says, to encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. And to hold firmly to your convictions. You see, each of us has the ability to impact and build up the faith of one another, of each of those around us. And while we must choose to act faithfully, right, like Vince's faith does not dictate my faith, his faith can impact my faith. Right? Alex's faith can inspire me and lift me up and encourage me. It's not something that's meant to be done alone. We need one another to remind each other who God is and of his faithfulness. You know, but do you spend time encouraging others, reminding them of who God is? And do you allow others to encourage you? You know, and the best way to do this, obviously you have to be with them. But honestly, it's just to point them back to the scriptures. To point them back to God's word. And about a month ago, I started studying through Hebrews, and I was blown away just how many times the author is referencing the Old Testament. How many times he's quoting it. But I think there's a reason for that. Right? In Romans 10, it says, faith comes from hearing the word from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. You see, in the book of Hebrews, there's 303 verses, and there's 210 references to the Old Testament. That's a lot. It's almost 70%. But in this, it's the author's drawing back, hey, here's the role of the high priest, but this is who Jesus is. Right? He's our high priest. It's to encourage them and to instill them with hope and with faith to persevere through the hardships that they were going through. You see, a hard heart comes from a lack of faith. But it's countered by being around other Christians who are pointing us back to God and his word. It says to encourage one another daily. And that doesn't just mean saying, hey, I really like the shirt that you're wearing today. It's something so much deeper than that. You know, sometimes we just need other people in our lives to remind us of what is true. Yeah. To remind us of who God is. Because guess what? Sin is deceitful. Yeah. It's what the passage says. Do not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Right? It causes us to feel isolated. To feel shame. It causes us to want to justify and compare and normalize our sin. And because it's deceitful, it means that we need to be open about our sin. Right? We need to be open about the things that we're struggling with. Otherwise, we're going to fall for the deceit. You know, we need to be a church where it's normal to be open about our sin and confessing our sin. And I get it. It's uncomfortable. It's not fun, honestly, for either party, but it's so needed. Because if people don't know what's going on in your life, how are they supposed to point you back to God? How are they supposed to encourage you? Church, it also shouldn't be awkward to ask someone how they're doing. And not just at a surfacey level. Yeah. Right? But, hey, is there anything you need to get open about? Yeah. This should just be a part of our culture. And if someone asks you that, it doesn't mean that they think you're doing wrong. It shows that they care about you. It shows that they care about your walk with God. They care about your faith. And, in fact, that they love you. You see, we're called to be a place where we're encouraging one another, building one another up, and maturing the body of Christ. But sin is deceitful. And as I was, you know, reading some commentaries in preparation for this, you know, one of the commentaries I came across, it went through these different ways that sin is deceitful. And I thought that this was just genius. But sin is deceitful in the way it presents itself to us. Think of Adam and Eve in the garden. Eat this fruit and you will be like God. That's what they were told. But they were deceived. Sin is deceitful in what it promises us. Right, just look at the world. Oh, have all this money and you'll be happy. Right, have the, you know, whatever it may be, the perfect job, the perfect family. But that doesn't ultimately lead us to joy and happiness. Life is still hard, even if you have all the things the world tells you. Sin is deceitful in what it calls itself. Oh, it's not really sin. Well, it's not as bad as what that person's doing. Well, you know, maybe it's close to the line, but I'm not crossing it. Sin is deceitful in the excuses it makes before and after the sin. Well, if you were in my shoes, you would have done the same thing. You know, there's no other options. I was forced to because of somebody else. Or maybe, well, that's the last time I'm going to give in to that, when deep down we know that that's just not true. You see, the deceitfulness of sin is a result of a lack of faith. And it leads to the hardening of our hearts and our souls. And where we start to allow one sin into our lives, it will start to snowball. and it will grow. It's why we need to be open. It's why we need to be confessing our sin, but not just confessing it, repenting, and encouraging one another to change. You know, in what ways have you been deceived by the sin in your life? And what are the ways that your sin is impacting the way that you view God? Right? How has it changed your view of His promises and His faithfulness to you? Because that's what sin does. It says, well, you can't get this in God, so you need to turn to this other thing. Or, well, God isn't going to fulfill this, so you need to do it on your own. Guys, God is faithful to us. He just wants us to be faithful back. But life is hard. That's why we need one another. That's why we're called to encourage one another. And this word encourage, it's parakaleo. Hopefully I'm saying that right. But it literally means to call alongside. It's not just to compliment. It's a call to say, hey, come and do life with me as we walk towards God together. Hey, let's watch out for each other. Let's call each other higher. Let's instill courage in one another. Let's read the scriptures and understand it deeper together. It's community. But we can't do that if we're isolated. You know, we need to hold firmly to our original convictions. Right? Think back to when you first studied the Bible. Right? So when you first realized the weight of your sin, when you studied it out, and you studied out the cross, and how convicted you were about it. Do you still have that conviction? Do you have people that are constantly reminding you of the weight of your sin? Because sin is deceitful. You know, I think back to when I was in college, and when I was in high school too, but I was super prideful. Like, it was really bad. Like, even other people in my ministry were like, man, he is so prideful. I hate when he gets like this when we're playing sports. It was bad. It was bad. Sammy can attest to that. But I had forgotten the weight of my sin. I thought, well, it's just pride. At least it's not drugs, or at least it's not partying or whatever it is. But I lost the weight of that. And I needed somebody in my life to call me higher, to remind me that, hey, that is still sin. You know, point me back to the scriptures. And, you know, as he was, you know, this was Davion Hambrick, and as he was challenging me with this, I came across this scripture in Psalm 10, and it said, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. And I was convicted. But I needed somebody to point me back to God, to have faith with me, but also to walk with me through it, right? Because sometimes change takes time. Repentance isn't always just this, oh, I'm perfect now. But walking with one another, building one another up. And each of us has the responsibility to do that. Right? This letter, it doesn't say, oh, and the leaders encourage one another. It's written to the church. Encourage one another, each and every one of you, so that we can build up and mature the body of Christ. You know, in our midweeks, the hammers the last, you know, few weeks have been talking about Ephesians 4. And in verses 14 and 16 it says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here or there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You see, when one part of the body is suffering physically, the rest of your body kind of picks up the slack. Right? If your ankle's hurting, you're putting more weight on your other ankle so that you can get by. Right? But that's just how our body works. It picks itself up. It doesn't just leave it behind. But it continues together, maybe a little bit slower at times. But that's what we're called to be as the body of Christ, where we are calling one another to join in as we walk faithfully towards God, encouraging one another every day. Do you have people in your life that are walking with you? not just encouraging or complimenting you every once in a while, but living life faithfully together alongside you, reminding you of your sin, of the weight of it. People that are calling you to the same standard that you were called to when you first made Jesus Lord. Because the standard hasn't changed. Sometimes we just forget. Sometimes we just lose sight as life goes on. But we need these relationships. We need to have people that are encouraging us and building us up. People that we can lean on in times of hardship and persecution. And people that we can pursue Christ together alongside. You know, my challenge for you this morning is to find one person each day that you can encourage. It could be a phone call. It could be grabbing breakfast with someone and just spending time with them, getting to know them, opening the scriptures together. You know, it could be getting to church a little earlier or staying a little bit after for fellowship and being able to just be together with the body, having those conversations with that brother or sister. But who can you encourage this week? Who can you build up and live life alongside? Church, sin is deceitful, right? Satan wants nothing more than for you to lose your faith and for your heart to become hardened. For your heart to become hardened to who God is, His promises, and His word. And faith is the fuel that keeps our hearts guarded, that keeps our hearts focused on God, so that we can live faithfully for Him. But as a church, our goal is to encourage one another, to remind each other, to carry on in our faith, to continue to live faithfully, even when life is hard. That's who we are. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. It's to live life faithfully to God, but also faithfully with one another. So church, let's go out and do that. Let's be a church that is encouraging one another, that is faithful to God, and that lives life together. Amen?